Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Good afternoon. Thanks to my comrade John Newell for the first hour of Swing Time today. Mike Coates here, continuing with a further selection of jazz, swing and blues music. My opening strike was by a rather less known trumpet player, Tony Frisella. His dates were the 4th of February 1927 to the 14th of August 1969. It was his own composition, Raintree County, that was played to open my hour today. And along with Tony Frisella on trumpet, we heard Alan Eager tenor, Bill Triglia on piano, Bill Anthony on bass, and Junior Bradley was the drummer. That was recorded in New York City on the 1st of April 1955. Tony Frisella recorded only from September 1948 until November 1955. Hence, the limited number of sessions he participated in. As may be imagined, this was due to what magazines frequently referred to as personal problems. We have a little more on that later on. I must admit that during my jazz listening experience, that I have never been able to work up much enthusiasm when jazz musicians have opted to record with large string ensembles. There are notable occasions, with such as Charlie Parker and Artie Shaw. Also, to be added to this spirit of endeavour, I have found, rather late in life, a session which I had absolutely no knowledge about, and we're going to hear it now. The individual concerned is Harry Carney, and the album was labelled Harry Carney with Strings. There were, however, a number of fellow Ellingtonians on the track with him, and the jazzers, if I can call them that, on Harry Carney's track are Ray Nance, playing trumpet and violin. A lesser-known jazz French horn player called Tony Milanda, Jimmy Hamilton on clarinet, Harry Carney playing baritone and bass clarinet, Leroy Lovett, piano, Billy Bauer, guitar, Wendell Marshall on bass, and, to me, quite surprisingly, Louis Belson on drums. The recording was made in New York City on the 13th or 14th of December 1954, and his orchestral sidemen included 8 violins and 3 cellos. So, give a listen to Harry Carney with Strings playing It Had to Be You. Thank you. that was a Norman Grant's supervised and organised session, which I find a bit surprising. I know Norman Grant's was very much to the fore in developing things, but not quite the usual Norman Grant's, I feel, there. My playing of the Tony Frisella session, I think, probably puts my presentation today into what might be considered a rather darker side of jazz. Sadly, Frisella's personal problems have extended into other characters, and you do wonder what jazz may have gained if these individuals, I'm going to mention two or three, had been around to extend what appear to be promising careers. Perhaps none more so than our next pianist, who is Dick Twardzik. His dates were 1931, nobody knows the exact time, up to the 21st of October 1955, which makes him around 24 when he died. He was born in Boston and showed early promise as a pianist and recorded with the likes of Charlie Mariano, and certainly when visiting Americans, sorry, when visiting American jazzmen came to Boston frequently, Dick was called on to provide the piano accompaniment. Towards the end of his life, he was asked by Chet Baker to join Chet on what was going to be a 7-month tour of Europe. But they'd not been there more than a month when, sadly, Dick Twardzik died of a heroin overdose in a Paris hotel. Many musicians of the day thought he was the most avant-garde player they'd heard. And we're going to hear a Dick Twardzik track now. It's I Remember April, with Dick Twardzik piano and only accompanied by a drummer. The recording was probably made in Boston, and it was thought to be done between June and December in 1954. Here is Dick Twardzik with I'll Remember April. Thank you. Well, as I'm sure you will have formulated, the work of Dick Twardzik at the early age of 24 did show that he had quite changing views on the way jazz was going to go, and I do believe that he would have played a major, major part in the development of jazz had it not been for this unfortunate set of circumstances. Not all this dark side of jazz was of a self-destructive nature. Natural causes also played a part. Fortunately, some of these casualties, even at an early age, had already laid down their mark, and an important mark at that. At this next recording, a true jam session, the recording engineers had set up for a conventional, commercial recording session. And fortunately, they left the acetates. This was before tape recording, as we all came to know. The acetates were rolling, and they were waiting for the main man to arrive. When eventually released, some years later, it was referred to as the main man's group, although he didn't play on it. The only difference being it was called a sextet, when in fact the commercial date was to be a septet. It is, of course, Benny Goodman. We know the tune as a smooth one. And when it was released on LP some years later, as I said, they found a title which kind of summed up the situation quite well. Waiting for Benny. And the main individual, and important individual, is of course Charlie Christian. The rest of the group on this jam session are Cootie Williams, trumpet, Georgie Auld, tenor, Johnny Guarnieri, piano, Charlie Christian playing guitar, of course, Artie Bernstein, and another casualty, combination of ill health and, I'm afraid, the demon booze, is the drummer, Dave Tuff. His dates were the 26th of April 1907 to the 9th of December 1948, which made him not as young as Dick Twardzik was, but still young at 41. Here is the jam session, Waiting for Benny. Thank you. That was recorded on the 13th of March 1941, and sadly, almost to the day, on the 2nd of March 1942, Charlie Christian died of tuberculosis. He was just 26. His contribution to bop is important, and really, it wasn't just to the development of bop music, but I think to the overall approach that guitarists, jazz guitarists, took in their work after his period of particularly recordings and air shots with Benny Goodman. Rather unusual record to play next, in some senses. The guitarist here is Eddie Lang, and he too sadly died of what might be termed natural causes at a very young age, 33. The story with Eddie Lang was that he'd gone into hospital to have an operation on his tonsils, but sadly never recovered the surgery. from the surgery. And indeed, rather like the part that Charlie Christian played in the development of bop, you could equally say that Eddie Lang's development of jazz guitar had a similar kind of pattern. He played with many of the important groups in the 20s and 30s. He had a very close relationship with guitar player Joe Venuti. But to illustrate his kind of work, I've picked a rather special, or from a rather special group of recordings that he did as a duet with the blues player, blues singer Lonnie Johnson. This is Deep Minor Rhythm. Eddie Lang and Lonnie Johnson on guitars, and the recording was made in New York on the 9th of October 1929. This is Eddie Lang in deep minor, playing deep minor rhythm with Lonnie Johnson. And to give you an idea of the kind of tone and the sound of his guitar, I believe that the kind of short initial solo and opening is done by Eddie Lang. Eddie Lang. His dates were the 25th of October 1902 to the 20th of March 1933. And again, an important figure, certainly in the early jazz period. two musicians now from the White School of Classic Jazz. And as with Tony Frusilla and Dick Twardzik, it was personal indulgence that sealed their fate. But not with narcotics. As such, this time it was the demon booze. A few weeks ago, I played as one of my classic tracks, Bix Beiderbecke, with the Paul Whiteman Orchestra. On this occasion, Bix, his dates were 12th of March 1903 to the 6th of August 1931, plays solo piano with his own composition. The title is In a Mist, and I think the harmonies on this are quite advanced for 1927 when the track was cut. And following In a Mist, it's followed by a hit record by another trumpet playing leader, leading his big band, Bunny Berrigan. His dates are the 2nd of November 1908 to the 2nd of June 1949. That signifies Bunny Berrigan and his hit record of I Can't Get Started was cut in 1937. Comparisons with the life of Bix Beiderbecke and Bunny Berrigan does show up some qualities that seem to be common to both individuals. We'll hear the music first and I'll give you the details of who plays what when we've finished. First, In a Mist, and then I Can't Get Started.
Thank you. my plane. I've settled revolutions in Spain, and the North Pole I have charted. Still I can't get started with you. On the golf course, I'm under par. Metro Goldwyn have asked me to star. I've got a house, a show place. Still I can't get no place with you. You're so supreme. Lyrics I write of you, I dream, dream day and night of you, and I scheme just for the sight of you. Baby, what good does it do? I've been consulted by Franklin D. Greta Garbo has had me to tea. Still I'm broken hearted, 'cause I can't get started with you.
The Big Spider Back in the Mist was recorded in New York City on the 9th of September 1927. The Bunny Berrigan track that we've just heard with his big band was the 7th of August 1937. Notable jazzmen in the lineup there were Joe Dixon on clarinet and alto, Georgie Auld playing tenor — that must have been a very young Georgie Auld playing tenor. George Wetling was the drummer, and the rest of the lineup, apart from Bunny Berrigan himself, of course, are probably not so well known. The trumpet player, and he crops up quite a lot with Berrigan, playing second trumpet, of course, was an individual called Irving Goodman, who I don't think was related to Benny. And he probably would have been waiting for him anyway if he was, however. So, I Can't Get Started from Benny, Bunny Berrigan. You are listening to Swing Time on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. This is Mike Coates, your host for this second hour. The roll call of jazz musicians who have succumbed for various reasons at a young age is not just confined to the early days of jazz history. Les Spann, a guitar and flute player, also unfortunately developed too much of a liking for alcohol. And he recorded between 1955, but no later than 1966, and he just drops off the scene. And sadly, the story is not too pleasant from him. However, we should listen to his music. He was an excellent guitar and flute player. He found employment with, amongst others, Duke Ellington, Quincy Jones, Dizzy Gillespie, and Johnny Hodges. And he was good enough to be included on various recording sessions by these individuals. But by the mid-60s, as I said, he disappeared. So, I found one album that in fact he led with a group of individuals, and I rather was taken by this track, which is his own composition, called Afterthoughts. The lineup with Les Spann, who plays flute on this album, is Julius Watkins on French horn, Tommy Flanagan, piano, Sam Jones on bass, and Albert Tutti Heath at the drums. Recorded in the Plaza Sound Studios, New York City, on the 8th of December 1960. Afterthoughts.
Thank you.
Well, a somewhat darker programme of jazz music today, but I do hope you found some stimulating music, despite the doom and gloom aspects. Time marches on, and as usual, I have to bring proceedings to an end for this week. Thank you for listening. John and me, that's Mike Coates, expect to be here again next week at 1 p.m. on Tuesday. That's Swing Time on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. And as usual, please take care out there. No doom and gloom with the kind of jazz which always gives me a lift. When asked what the difference there was between modern jazz and his kind of music, Eddie Condon replied, "The boppers flatten their fifths, we drink ours." Hope you can join us next week.